We're up to Shmuel Betz. We are in the middle of Perek Hey. This is our second week learning Perek Hey. We're up to Pasuk Zayin, which can be found in our packets on page 228. The Perek began that everyone joined David. David became the Melech for all of the Jewish people. It also discussed that he was 30 years old when he became the king, and the 40 years total of him being a king, of course, him passing away at the age of 70, but we have a whole lot to get to before that happens. So one of the first things that David wished to accomplish, as we saw last week, was to conquer Yerushalayim. And as we saw in Pasuk Vav at great length, there was a nation by the name of Yevusi that at the time were living and inhabiting this land of Yerushalayim. And as one could gather, they weren't very pleased about giving up the land. And in fact, they made a peculiar statement. They said, which is toward the end of Pasuk Vav, which we did see, he said that if you remove the Ivrim Vapischim, the blind one and the lame one, that's the only way you can get in here. And there was a few interpretations. One of the interesting ones, which we saw the Ralbag, was that they had some type of a water-powered apparatus which caused these two statues, which had in it very powerful, heavy metal clubs that kept swinging back and forth, and that it was on 24 hours. It never stopped because it was run by water power. And they said the only way you can get in here is if you somehow remove these two clubs, because otherwise it's impossible to get through. You'll get chopped up, you'll get smashed, and you'll die. And therefore, that's one interpretation. We also saw Rashi, as well as the Radak, that said that it goes back all the way to the days of Avimelech, who Abraham made a treaty, a bris with him, and said that I'm not going to harm you. And even though that treaty no longer existed, but the perception that it still did, what they did was they made these two idols and they placed them in front of by the city, and one of them was an image of someone who was blind, another one was an image of a person who was crippled, which represented two of our forefathers, because Yitzchak, so Abraham made the promise, but the point is that Yitzchak, who was someone who was blind, because that's the whole idea, the bracha was taken from him, and Yaakov, who was hit by the angel of Esav, who also became crippled, those two statues represented Yitzchak and Yaakov as though to say, any descendants of Abraham are not allowed to harm us. So the only way that you can enter here and destroy us and take our land is if you completely break the promise of Abraham, which you're not supposed to do. Which again, as we said, is that they were allowed to because this treaty was only for those generations and not many, many generations thereafter. It didn't last forever. It wasn't ad olam. It wasn't forever. But nonetheless, the perception that they felt that if they kept those statues, everyone felt that that treaty still existed, and therefore the Jewish people couldn't do anything about it. But David, as we're now going to see, is going to conquer this land, is going to conquer Yevusi, and it's not going to be such an easy task because he's not able to go through, again, according to the Ralbag, the main way where you have these two heavy clubs going on either side. So let's see, start off with Pasuk Zayin. B'yilko David ace Mitsudas Sion. As we saw, the Mitsudas Sion is one of our commentaries, which is borrowed from these words. B'yilko David Mitsudas Sion, that David captured Mitsudas Sion, translated here as the Zion fortress, he'ir David, which is the city of David. And the way it's explained was that David, realizing that the city was impossible to infiltrate, to go into it, therefore he decided instead to attack this fortress or this stronghold after it was captured to acknowledge that he was successful in his capture. The name of the city became Ir David. And as we saw also, the word Sion or Zion comes from the source, this is brought down in English on page 229, that Zion means outstanding, mitsuyan. When someone gets 100 on the test, you write, mitsuyan, excellent, perfect. And the significance of why this fortress is called Zion, is it's, as it's brought down in the Barbanel, is that the fortress was prominently known for its impregnability, which was impossible to get through. It was such a powerful, strong stronghold, and therefore because of this, no one was able to get through it. But that's the significance also, as he says here, the name Zion subsequently became a synonym for Yerushalayim as a whole, as well as for the Temple Mount. So that's the significance of why we call it Sion, because of how spectacular and beautiful and wonderful Yerushalayim is to us all.
But in other words, David got through that. I thought the previous pasuk says that he couldn't get through.
Right. We're going to see how he gets through the next pasuk. He couldn't get through the. There's different interpretations. Basically, he couldn't get through the main gates, right? So therefore, he had to go in a different means through this tower or this fortress, this stronghold, which is a different route, and be able to go up there and then indirectly attack them. So that's how some explain it. And it's Pasuk Ches is going to explain this in better detail, to the point that David did not know what to do to be able to conquer them because it was so well fortified. The Yomer David Biyamahu, so David said on that day, Kolmaki Yavusi, anyone who hits Yavusi, anyone who attacks them is successful. Vayiga Batsinor, and reaches the Tsinor, and the Suda Sion translates Shem Hamigdal is the name of the tower. It's called a Sinor. A Sinor can also mean a pipe, which we'll explain is another interpretation in a moment. Then the pasuk really seems very out of place, and the simple reading doesn't make sense. So far the pasuk means anyone who is successful in attacking Yavusi and reaches this tower, v'es hapisnim v'es ha'ivrim, senue nefesh David. And when it came to those people who were blind and those people who were lame, those people were hated by David. David did not like them. Alkein Yomru, for this reason, David said, Iver Pisech lo yavu el habayis, that someone who is blind and someone who is lame shall not enter the house. So there's a few big problems with this. First of all, David says, anyone who does this, but doesn't say the reward at all. That's one problem. The second thing is, why is David hating people that unfortunately have physical disabilities? That doesn't sound like a very high positive quality of a great man. And because the person has, there's nothing wrong with the person. All the problem is that they have something physically wrong with them. All of a sudden he starts showing forms of prejudice and says, Yavu Elabias, they can't go into the house. They're considered like second class citizens. What's going on over here? So there's a few ways to explain this. The first one is that when it's referring to the Pischim and the Ivrim, it's not talking about people. It's not necessarily talking about physical people. Because David would never speak this way about a person. But it's referring to the idols, to the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it makes sense that when it says, Vesa Pischim, Vesa Ivrim, Sinui Nefesh David. Of course, David didn't like idols. And therefore, that's what he was referring to. And therefore, Alkein Yomru, Iver Pisech, Lo Yavu Habayis, anyone who has idols or idols themselves should not be in the house. So you should discard anyone that has these types of avodah zarah. That's one explanation, which maybe you'll think was acceptable. There's going to be a couple other nicer answers, I think, as well, which fit in the whole pasuk very well. But Rashi points out the issue that we had initially is that David says anyone who conquers Yavusi, but he doesn't say what they'll get as a reward. So Rashi says like this, and we're on Pasuk Ches. Rashi says, Lo Yavo, Yavo David Heinam. Rabbi Hari Zem Mikra Katsar. This is written in an abbreviated format. Sha'amar Kol Maki Yavusi V'yiga Batsinar. All the Pasuk says is, anyone who goes to and attacks and is successful in conquering Yavusi and takes the tower, but David doesn't really say what happens to them, what reward he'll give. But it is cited in the Chronicles, Pirish. Kol Maki Yavusi Barishona, the one who goes there first and shows that level of bravery, Yehel Rosh, Lutsar. Such an individual will be appointed as commander of the army. And we're going to see in a moment that Yoav is going to be the one that does it, that is the one that is the first to conquer this this tower. Now, the way, again, the way the Mitzudasion translates the word Betsinor is it's a Shem HaMigdal, it's the name of a tower. Sinor literally means a pipe. And generally, what goes through pipe? Water, okay? So, what you can possibly interpret, as the Malam always does, is that what he was saying is, Maki Yavusi Beyiga Betsinor, to reach this pipe, means to cut off their water supply. And we know that this is one of the steps that a person does in warfare, is the very first thing we do is to cut off the water supply. And in fact, Mefarshim bring down, when it comes to, came to the Eser Makot, when it came to the 10 plagues, it corresponds to a physical war. The first thing that was done, blood, by cutting off the water supply, is the first thing that is done. Now, another way of reading that Betsinor means a pipe, and it's filled with water, is not because they were going to be thirsty and they're going to end up breaking down and that's how we'll defeat them, but maybe, as we explained before, that the Ralbag said that the only reason why they could not get into the main gate is because there was these two huge statues with heavy clubs that were waving back and forth, and because of this, they weren't able to get in. And therefore, that Sinor, the pipe, maybe that was the mechanism which brought the water, which caused these two...
Water power.
Right, that was the water power, through these pipes. And therefore, explains the Mamloes, David wasn't concerned about just cutting off the water supply so they couldn't drink. It was so that those huge heavy machines, those huge heavy clubs, just like pulling a plug, no more electric fence, they can easily just get right through. And therefore, if we look at the Pasuk, reading it in that manner, I think you can read it a little bit better. You see the Pasuk again, Pasuches. So David said on that day, Kol Maki Yavusi V'Yiga Betsinor. So what happens if anyone can, the first one who can attack Yavusi by reaching the pipe, which will cause that we'll be able to get through and be able to attack them. And then the Pasuk says, seemingly no connection, that as Pischim Ves Ha'ivrim Sinui Nefesh David, that David hated the blind and the lame, but it's not referring that to those people, it's referring to those machines. So he was saying that by getting to those, that pipe, then that apparatus will not be able to function. With the thing which David hated so much, that's why he was saying, get to that pipe so that it'll stop. And then, the Mamloys didn't say this, but I think this is the correct reading of the last part of the Pasuk, Al-Kain Yomru, Iver Pisech Lo Yavu El Habayis, could mean that because of these two things, no one could enter into the house. No one could attack them because of the Iver in Pisach. And therefore, that's the reason why it mentions Vayiga Betsinor, by reaching that water supply which causes those machines to operate and function, that is a way to have it all stop. Okay.
That wasn't explained to us by you. Who would ever think that blind and lame refer to a water for the machines?
You're right. I mean, that's how Rashi interprets
that there's...
Absolutely. I mean, probably those who came up with these interpretations... Well, I mean, the problem again is that David, how could David ever have turned and felt negative about someone just because they have a physical ailment? Very hard to understand, and therefore, that's why the Mefarshim should probably search for a more logical, a more acceptable approach. Okay. Another way, if you want to say that the Pischim and the Ivrim are not actually statues, because, you know, as you said, maybe it's, you know, hard to fathom. Maybe it's really talking about real people, and how do these Mefarshim know that this is necessarily the case? So we brought down another explanation last week, that what the people from Yavusi did was very bizarre. That they knew that David was a very sensitive and caring and empathetic person. So what they did was they placed in the front gates, the only way that David's army could have entered into that city, they put the people who were physically ill. They put in front of them the blind people and the lame people, and they basically said the only way you can enter is by you killing these defenseless, innocent people. And to David, it would be just as difficult to enter in such a way as actually having clubs going from side to side. In other words, David would never have wanted to harm innocent people, so much so that he had to go through a completely different means, as we're going to see in the Radak, very interesting Radak in a second, of how they were able to somehow get into the city. So that's another interpretation. And therefore, what he hated doesn't mean that he hated those people. It means that he hated the idea that that's the way that they're protecting the city, is by putting these innocent people in harm's way. Okay. Right, exactly. Just put the... Right. Right. They set up their camp right next to schools and this, because they know we're not going to harm them. We can't possibly drop a bomb. Exactly. That's they're almost hoping that we do something, but we're not. We can't do that because we're not. We won't sink to their level. Says the Radak. The Radak explains. Okay. Yoav, which we haven't seen in the Psukim, but the Radak is going to say this, at least in brackets, he will be the one that will have be the first one who enters into this fortified stronghold. V'divrei HaYomim, and it's toward the bottom, I believe I underlined it, it's about six or seven lines in the bottom in the Radak. V'divrei HaYomim, it's brought down, before Ishkol Maki Yavusi Barishona, Yel Rosh Lasar, V'yal Yoav Barishon. So this is what we already saw in Rashi, that Rashi pointed out that even though the Pasuk doesn't say what the reward will be that the first person who goes will become the commander of the army. And then you'll see in the brackets over here, the one who did this was Yoav. Yoav went in first, V'yal Rosh. And some explain the reason why is because Yoav really had more than anyone what to prove. Because as we recall, he did something which he should not have done a couple of prakim ago, namely, he killed Avner, which was against the will of David. And therefore, maybe Yoav is really not so much on David's side. So Yoav had to prove beyond the shadow of the doubt that I'm still showing my allegiance to you, David.
He was also a man.
Which is interesting because if he was already it, right? So what is David promising? David's saying that whoever goes first will become the Sarsava, as though to say that it's not necessarily yours. You have to continuously prove yourself. Just because you're in a position right now doesn't mean that you can keep it forever, and especially after what you did to me. So who says that I'm going to let you keep this position? So this was a way maybe you could retain it by showing that he still, in fact, shows those signs of leadership. Now the Radak explains, it's kind of a stretching, which is quite literally, we'll see in a second, how they got up there. With Memedrash, Kol Maki Yevusi V'yiga Batzinor, Kol Misha Hoya Maki Yevusi Hoya Noigea Batzinor. Anyone who is able, the only way you can smite, you can wipe out the Yevusi, is only by reaching this pipe, as we described the significance of it. Koloma is to say, L'hoya Cholim L'chavsham, you cannot conquer them, Im lo hoya Magiyam Batzinor. V'hamakam ha'gavoa b'migdal. This was a very high pipe. This pipe was very, very high up in a tower. So again, borrowing the explanation of the Mamloes and the Ralbag, that it was actually a mechanism which caused these two heavy clubs to move back and forth, but the only way to turn off the off switch was way up there. So the question is, how can we get way up there? So what did Yoav do? So the Radak says, interestingly enough, Ma'asu, so what did they do? Heviu Ilan Shabarosh. They took this tree, the Kafafo Oso, and they bent it down, like so. The Kafats Yoavs, and Yoav jumped upon the branches, or the top part of it, which is really all the way down, and they let it go. Exactly. A human boomerang. But all of Barosh, Hachom, all of a sudden, he flew all the way up to the top of the wall. Hopefully they get it accurate or else, boom, you're going to smash into the wall. Ubiksha Lahargo, so of course once they saw, the Yavusis, they saw that there was this guy, Yoav, on their level, literally, they wanted to kill him. Gibor Chayil, he became powerful and strong. Vanilchum, connect them, and he waged war against them. Uvo Gibor Yisrael, Yazruhu. So basically what it sounds like, what happened was he was able to get up there, he turned off the water, and now all of a sudden they saw they turned off the water, and they were going to kill him, but in the meantime, all the other people then were able to run through and to be able to defeat them. So it wasn't necessarily just Yoav, but Yoav was able to turn off the switch, which in turn caused everyone to be able to assist him in the battle. Medrash Acher, Kosev Khan, the Medrash Tehillim says another explanation, which is also in the Radak over here. Ma asa Yoav, what did he do? Holach lehaviyu barosh echad ra'anon. So he took one of these trees, this the same type of a deal, but not that he bent it down, but the kavu b'tzad achomo, but he took almost like a ladder, and he placed it on the side of the wall. The kafaf rosho shoyorach, and the when it was bent, it was still bent, it was soft. The achas boderech David, and he grabbed hold of David. The kafas yoav al rosho shel David, and he jumped on top of David's head, right, or maybe on his shoulders. Benitla b'varosh. So he was able to, by this means, by using David to give him another few feet, this is the way he was able to get on top of the roof.
Strange. Yeah, that he would take the king to do that? And David was short anyway, so why would he take someone taller? It doesn't make sense.
Because there's David. David and he were the two that were the most motivated to accomplish this feat. But you're right. And in fact, if you see the next line, the Mefarshim say, which is not really found in the next line, which I didn't underline, David saw that Yoav went up there, and he was getting all the glory in this battle. And therefore he felt terrible, like, my goodness, here I am sitting here doing nothing, and everyone's going to be singing the praises of Yoav, and I'm unable to accomplish anything. So it says, Masa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kotzar Esachoma, Ad she'ol David acharav, which you said David isn't the tallest man in the world. So Hashem somehow made this wall smaller so that David was able to ascend and climb up this wall. So does it mean literally a miracle happened? That's how some people like to say miracles happen. That's fine. It's possible also that when a person, nothing and no one has ever been able to accomplish something, it's impossible. I can't do it. No one's done it. Once someone accomplishes it, then you find everyone else is able to do it afterwards. We find that throughout. You find that in so many different places, so many different instances. Once it's done, it's like, and so what? So this, so it's possible, not necessarily that physically the wall shrunk, but that once it was seen that someone was somehow able to get up to the top of that roof, and maybe it was a little bit high, it was easier and more, he was capable of doing it on his own. So that's another way of reading.
What's the rosh without the aleph? The rosh.
It's kind of a tree.
Yeah, it's a type
of a tree.
Yeah, so.
Trees in Israel, they're all evergreen.
That's the name of the tree? Of rosh? It's a type.
Mandelic.
What is that? Jumped? That's, yeah. That's, yeah. But so whichever way, he used something to be able to get on top, but David didn't need to, and again, that's up to interpretation exactly why that's the case. Okay. Now, before we move on to Pasuk Tes, if you look on the bottom, on page 229, the bottom right, homiletically speaking, the blind and the lame represent people whose faith and convictions are weak and subject to pressure. So when it says that David, so let me just read the next page on the bottom of page 230. Even their observance of the commandments is often based more on social convention rather than a firm belief. David, on the other hand, is unwavering in his loyalty to God. Therefore, David detests the blind and the lame, so says Beis Yaakov. So therefore, that's another interpretation, which of course is not the simple explanation of this pasuk, that he despises the blind and the lame, those people who are not necessarily as loyal to as they could be, that they're not physically weak, but spiritually weak. And someone asked me a question a few holidays ago, a holiday that falls out in April. They said, it's very interesting, I'm going to actually talk about this because there's a lot to discuss, but I don't want to get into it, that the name of a holiday, Passover, is Pesach. Pesach is the exact same letters as Pisach, lame. Why would that be the same? So that's something to think about. It's a question. What was that? All the work that to get to that point. The exhaustion of work. Okay. So, but it's certainly a very strong question, which God willing, I'm going to talk about on Pesach. It's a balmum. And someone has a physical blemish.
But isn't that wrong?
That what? That someone has a physical blemish?
Yes. Why should they be less of a person?
They're not less of a person, but we also know that, you know, if you have a construction worker, if a person, if, you know, there's workers' comp, and you're not if you're not up to the job, it's not that you're less of a person, you just can't do this job. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just you need to have, there's certain requirements. You have to be physically healthy to be able to do this job. It's not necessarily a negative. It's unfortunate. You know, you have to be healthy. If you're not healthy, you can't work. It's not.
You can be blind and healthy.
Yeah. But you can't. But you can't do your job. There's certain jobs that people who are blind can do extremely well. But one of them is not the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, sure. Many things. Just because a person is blind doesn't mean that they should use that life to hold them back.
Invalid is invalid.
We take it offensively, that word, invalid. It sounds like a person is invalid.
A person is only invalid if they believe that within themselves.
That's right.
Unfortunately, many people will convince you of that is wrong as well. But
the word connotes invalidness.
Right. That's not something which that's not something which we'd want to tell someone who has certain illnesses. You want to encourage them that despite they can still overcome, which is true. Pasuk Tes. Vayeshev on page 230. Vayeshev David Bamsuda. So David was settling in the fortress Be'ikrola Ir David, which we already saw, but again, this is going back. It was not called Ir David until everything was conquered. Be'even David Savid Min Hamilo Baboisa. And David built around the city from Milo Baboisa and, as it says over here, and inward. Now, Milo is not translated in the English over here. And Milo could have a few different meanings. And it's brought down on the bottom, the one I like, the Ralbag. Milo comes from Malé, to fill up, to fill something. So it could be explained, it was filled up as a landfill upon which David built homes. The Ralbag explains that it was filled with water. And then what he did was he created a moat which protected the city in which the people inhabited. So there are different interpretations as to what that means. But nonetheless, Milo, which is not translated in English, the source, the root, comes from Malé, full. They filled something up. So interpretation is exactly what he filled. Vayeluch David haloch v'gadol, v'ashem elokei sevaot imo. So David became greater. He kept going and getting bigger and greater. V'ashem elokei sevaot imo. And Hashem was with him. And Sudas David says, not really adding too much, but nonetheless, in Pasuk Yud, Ha'ofel Gadol, Bechol Eis, Nisgadol Yosef Yoser. Every moment, every day, he kept growing and getting better and better. He did not stay stagnant and remain as he was yesterday, but rather he continued to improve in his ways as his days and months and years progressed. Now, another thing that the Mefarshim bring down, which is noteworthy about this pasuk, is the first part of the verse, as well as compared to the second. The first part of the pasuk says that he got greater and greater. So once a person gets greater and greater, you can say, well, I'm a big shot, I'm a king, and you can become a bal gaiva. You can become haughty and arrogant. And on this, the end of the pasuk says, no. But he had God with him. In other words, he did not allow his greatness to get to his head. He did not allow himself to become haughty. And of course, we find this also by Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was obviously a tremendous, powerful leader, nonetheless, Torah testifies upon him that he was humble. So that's the only way a person can accomplish this, according to the reading of this pasuk, is only if Hashem Elokei Tzavos Imo, that if you have God with you, if you realize that the blessings and the gifts and skills that you have are not necessarily because you worked for them, which you might have, but the reality is there was a starting point that you were given a tremendous amount, which maybe other people didn't have. So therefore, since you were given more skills, so it comes with that more responsibility. That doesn't make you necessarily a better person. And maybe that's the idea that Moshe and David realized that they were obviously powerful people. But their rationale was that if someone else would be given the exact same skills and abilities, maybe they would be even greater than me, greater than I. And therefore, that's the perspective a person needs to have. Even if a person is wealthy, a person has a lot of different positive qualities, you shouldn't let it get to your head, because after all, Hakol b'di shemayim, chutzal yir shemayim, God gave them to you. Obviously, you have to use them and channel them and put forth your effort, but don't take tremendous credit for it. What?
This is me.
So you don't have to listen to it then. Pussy, get out. I'm just rambling over here. Right. It's interesting. Not only is it not mentioned here, it's not even mentioned in the conquering of Yerushalayim. It doesn't even mention him. Which shows maybe his greatness. Maybe that shows Yoav's greatness, that he doesn't feel that he has to be acknowledged, that he's a humble servant.
But David being humble, but then just before he had that pasuk where he said...
Go ahead. What?
They're mourning Yoav and not me.
But you can also look at that as he wanted to participate in the mitzvah of the conquest of Yerushalayim. Not that he was a bal gaiva and he said, I want to be able to be recognized, but I want to be able to participate in this. Or you can also say, what will it look like that I'm just barking orders, you do it, and I'm just sitting here with a pina colada over here. So by making a stand and going in there, it's good to be king, right? But maybe people are going to look at him and say, I'm not going to listen to this king. But if you're a soldier, and you know, you go out into the battlefield, and you show your bravery, and you show your courage, then maybe people will respect you more. So there's a lot of... He's proven quite a bit, so...
There's always
more to accomplish, and that's what the pasuk says here, that he became holach v'gadol, what Mesudas David said, he continued to niskal Yosef Yosef.
He earned
it. Even though he accomplished a lot, you can't say, I've accomplished enough. There's never enough. There's always striving to do more. Pasuk Yud Alef tells us, Vayishlach Hiram Melech Tzor Melachim El David. So Hiram, who was the name of the king of Tzor, he sent messengers to David, and what was his purpose? Probably to kill him. No, actually to do something nice.
Yeah.
Finally, something nice.
He didn't want them to take over his place.
Probably, right. That's probably his motivation. Right. The Atzei Arozim, he sent him cedarwood. The Charashi Eitz, the Charashi Evan Kir. Charashi is translated to the Sion as... Monim, the craftsmen, workers of wood and stone for kir, for walls. V'yivnu bayis with David, to help David build a beautiful house. He's a king. He should have a nice, beautiful house. It would be very, very nice.
By the way, excuse me, does it say anything about what happened to Yavusi? Did he do anything to Yavusi? Did he kill them?
It sounds like he...
Well, he just took over.
So I would imagine he killed them.
It doesn't say it.
I know. At least to the point that he was able to take over their land. I'm sure there was certainly casualties, but it doesn't say. It's a very interesting point. I don't know. I'm not really sure exactly how many casualties. Sukkim, for some reason, don't relay them. Now, you're right. So, the Nach has filled enough blood and violence. It's brought down that we're all familiar that David, as much as he always wished to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was not zocha to have done so. Rather, it was his son, Shlomo HaMelech. And some people make the mistake and think it had something to do with the sin of Bathsheba, which it wasn't. Some say it's because David was involved in too much war.
Killed too many people.
Shlomo, shalom, peace. That's what the Beis HaMikdash represents. That is an acceptable answer. Mefarshim actually bring, believe it or not, from the pasuk we just read, another reason why David did not deserve to build a Beis HaMikdash. What happened? The problem, as it says, is that David, even though he was given gifts and people, he wasn't necessarily the one that thought up the idea. But we see that when it came to building a structure, his focus was not first, let me build the Beis HaMikdash, it was let me first build my own home. And therefore, it's brought down, I wouldn't be allowed to say this if it wasn't said by others, that Chazal tell us, Shavuram nidcha David melivnos es Beis HaMikdash. This is one of the reasons why he was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he was too worried about. Right, he says, Atok kedamt kvodcha l'kvodi. That Hashem says, you place forth your own honor before my honor. You were concerned about building a house for yourself before building the Beis HaMikdash. However, we'll see.
But it says, Vayiv knew Vayiv, it didn't say he built it.
But he was, but he didn't, he was smiling, he's like, okay, go for it. You know, he didn't say no.
He has the word for Hashem, he couldn't just build.
But he just conquered the place. He has to establish a home in order for it to become our place. He couldn't just conquer and leave. He had to stay there, reside there, before it becomes a city.
Well, we're gonna see.
That's his wall.
There's nothing wrong with having a house. But the house
And look what the Mitnachalim in Israel had to establish a home before it became a city.
Right.
Before it became our place. And everybody went to build, and then they built the shul. They didn't first build the shul, then build homes.
This is one of the reasons that the Yalkut comes up with this idea, is because in contrast, we're going to see later on when it came to Shlomo, his son, he did the exact opposite. The pasuk says, "Ubishana echas asara beareach." It says, "Kol habayis." After a specific amount of time, he finished building the Beis HaMikdash, and then the pasuk says, quote, "Be'achar kach as beiso bana Shlomo." And afterwards, Shlomo built his own
house. It was already a city. It was already a city.
He already had a house.
Because it now came from the field.
Okay.
It was
already
established.
Right.
It had to establish himself. Right. The city was his already. He already had the city.
I'm sharing you the words of the Yalkut. I hear what you're saying. It's a very valid point, but this is why some say that he should have placed more emphasis on the building of Beis HaMikdash for some reason, not so much on his own home. Okay. It's something to think about. It's a very strong, strong valid question.
Is what he should have done.
But that's right.
Wasn't there something that he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because he was such a warrior?
Right. Well, that, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, some of the Mepharshim say that this is an additional reason that his focus was more on himself and not on the Beis HaMikdash, which is hard to say, especially in the context of the next Psukim. Okay, let's just.
If he wasn't a warrior, he wouldn't have conquered Yerushalayim.
Right.
He had no choice. It was, he had no choice but to do what he did. He did everything correct. But because of that, Vayeda David ki hechino Hashem melech al Yisrael. So David realized and acknowledged that Hashem established him as a king over Israel. V'chi nisei mamlachto ba'avor amo Yisrael. Nisei is brought down to the Sion as Inyan Haramam, that he was exalted, Hashem had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And this, the Rashi over here, it's focused on the first part. It says that David knew that things were great, that Hashem had helped him and assisted him and established him as a king. How did David know? Well, David probably knew because he saw all the Jewish people were on his side, and all the people cared for him, and all the people viewed him as a king. Rashi says a different reason how David knew. I now know that I'm a powerful person. How does David know he's a powerful person? Very interesting, Rashi. Baroso kol masa matzlichin. First of all, he saw that he was successful in all of his ways. Umalchei agoyim sholchin lo mincha. That people were giving him gifts. Why on earth are these guys giving me gifts? If I was a nobody, no one would care about me. Once you become a celebrity, you start getting fan mail all of a sudden.
Not enough, like Moshe. He was a little bit full of himself.
But that's one way you can look at it. But then the Pasuk concludes, and well, actually, if we look in Masudas David, addresses that issue. And Pasuk Yudbet. There's only one Masudas David. It says, "Bama asher goyul yada yavduhu hikar shashem hechinu amelach." He did something which other kings, others did not acknowledge. He realized that it was Hashem that established and placed him as a king. But asher nisam amelachto, he ba'abur Yisrael lotola hadavar ba'atzmo. The reason why he was a king was not for his own glory, was not for himself, but rather, as the pasuk concludes, ba'abur amo Yisrael. It was for the sake of the Jewish people, which is the true purpose of a leader, is not so that they can serve themselves, their own purpose, but rather to serve the people under them. Okay.
But can I just ask you, Shaul never thought that he didn't believe that his purpose was God?
He certainly was a tzaddik. He did a lot of great things, but we also see his faults.
He had faults, but he did, that wasn't one of them.
Right. No, he was.
He certainly thought that his power and his life, everything came from God.
Absolutely. I mean, to be appointed as a king of Israel, that alone shows his greatness.
Yeah, but then
straight
on. He wanted to continue, and then he saw that God didn't want to.
That's right. He was fighting God.
So then he was killer to David, you know.
So then he lost his way.
Okay. Let's. There's the next few psukim which we could see, which are going to be the names of David's children. David's going to have many children. One of them, as we're going to see toward the end of the pasuk, is going to be Shlomo, and we'll discuss and see that next week. Stop.